Good morning. Lovely to see you all. And may I add my own welcome to you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul. I am the Youth and Outreach Minister here at Brimbank Church of Christ, and I'm a Scrabble fan. That'll become important a little bit later, and I'll explain that a little bit later on in the message today. If you would open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The reading from this morning is coming from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verse 7 and then verses 11 through to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and then 11 through to 13. But to each one of us, grace is given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, we thank you for last week, and Lord, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. Lord, may your word be illuminated this morning as we explore the various things that you have to say to us through this new sermon series, and Lord, may it be your words that truly come through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are starting a new series. Well, technically, it's the start of the new series today, but there was some introductory messages a couple of weeks ago when I was talking from the passage in Ephesians chapter 4 in full about Paul's vision and his ideal of what an ideal church looked like, or the perfect church, a completed church, and what that looked like. And the series that we're going to be looking at over the next couple of months, there'll be some gaps for Easter and some visiting speakers as well. But while I'm up the front, this is what we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to be looking at the fivefold ministry as it is outlined in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And I've called it the APEST series, common acronym for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Now, the word shepherd has been used in that acronym because it sounds better than APEPT, but also because the idea of a pastor is something that we in the contemporary church have a somewhat different view of, because to us, a pastor is sort of the paid minister of a church, whereas in a biblical sense, a pastor is a shepherd. That is where the root of the word comes from, and so that sense of shepherding God's people is the sense of pastorship that we're going to be looking at in this context. So it's sort of shepherds, pastors, is how we're going to be speaking about that. Now, there is a notes sheet that you can take. I see a few people have already grabbed the notes sheet from today. It's just over on the foyer. If anyone wants to grab one, I'll allow it. I'll allow it. I'll have some filler conversation while that is happening. But essentially, we're going to be looking at each individual gifting. And so it's the same worksheet each week. So there won't be a new one. There's not enough for everyone to take home all five today, but there'll be more, and it'll be the same worksheet each week so that you can fill that out with any notes you have about each of the giftings that we're going to be exploring. Now, regarding these giftings, there are actually two overarching principles which I have listed on the worksheet, and that is, that'll come up, and that is that all of us have all five of these giftings, and that our spiritual gifts are non-optional, they are proportional, and they are interdependent. I've said this before from the pulpit, and I will say it again in the future. Spiritual gifts aren't optional. God has given them to you. Whether you like it or not, you've got them. They are proportional. Your gifts will not look the same as someone else's gifts. Someone might be more gifted than you. Jesus, the way he gives out gifts for his kingdom work, he does that in proportion as he sees fit. It's not about our idea of what's fair or appropriate and everyone being treated the same. That's a human concept. God gives as it's needed for his work to be done. So someone might be more developed or more gifted than you. That is perfectly okay in the kingdom of God. And they are interdependent. The reason that we have five gifts that we're going to be looking at is because no one person this side of heaven, except Jesus, has all five in full. Now, we do have a part of all five. So we can't say at any point in time that, oh, no, I'm not an apostle, or I'm not an evangelist, or I'm not a teacher, or anything. You all have at least some of all five of these gifts. It's all right there, actually, in the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 20. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the end of the age. Go, that's apostleship. Baptize in the name of Spirit, that's actually pastoring a person's journey. To make disciples, that's evangelism. Teach them to obey, that's teaching. I am with you until the end of the age, living in communication with Jesus. That's prophecy. It's all there in the Great Commission, all five giftings in some element. And so at no point in this series can we say, oh, no, that's someone else's job. I don't have any of that. There is something that you can learn about each and every one of the giftings. And you may even discover something new about yourself throughout this series, that you are gifted in a way, or you've been called to do something in one of these five giftings that you may not have known before. And that would be really exciting, and I hope that becomes true for you. To recap just a little bit of an overview of the five giftings as well, a couple of weeks ago when I was talking on this passage, I talked about the mountain story and the idea of how these five giftings work together. So the apostle says, let's go climb a mountain. The prophet says, we need to climb that mountain. The evangelist says, hey, everybody, let's go and climb this mountain. The pastor or the shepherd says, let's make sure everyone gets to the top of the mountain safely. And the teacher is like, do we have all the information we need to make sure we know how to climb this mountain? We need all five people to get to the mountaintop, all five gifts. That's what it means when they are interdependent. Now, you will have probably one or two that you're really strong in, one or two that you're really, really weak in, and sort of a couple, maybe one that's in sort of the middle. But there'll definitely be one that sort of that is the core of who you are. For me, it's evangelism. That's my ultimate core of where I'm gifted in the fivefold. It's come out in every quiz I've done on it, that I am an evangelist first and foremost. I also have a little bit of apostleship, really, really weak on pastoral and prophetic, and I'm about mid-range when it comes to teaching. At least that's what the quizzes have told me. Who knows? We'll see how they go. But today, we're going to be talking about the first of the fivefold gifting, the apostles. Apostles, the word, is a very direct transliteration of the Greek apostolos. An apostolos is a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. An apostle is someone who is sent for a specific reason, for a specific task, to do something. A person who is sent for a purpose. We might describe an apostle as a missionary. Our understanding of what an apostle is can be summarized as a missionary, as we understand a missionary. And what do missionaries do? We commission them. The church sends them to new parts of the world. They establish churches in new parts of the world, build up churches, and then they often hand over that church to the local people who they have trained in the gospel, they have trained in how to run and sustain the church, and then they move on to a new frontier. Because they are missional, they are apostles. Apostles are always pushing into new frontiers. Some biblical examples of prophets are, of course, the 12. Jesus, in fact, designated them apostles. The most famous one that we know of is, of course, the Apostle Paul. It's in his name that we call him the Apostle Paul. Some of Paul's co-workers like Barnabas and Silas, Priscilla and Aquila. But there are also apostles in the Old Testament. Abraham was sent for a purpose. He was sent to claim the new land that would be the inheritance for God's people. Moses was sent to free those people. In fact, all through Scripture, looking at the prophets and the cycle of Judges, one could make the argument that they are all apostles in some way because they are sent for a purpose. And we, as God's people, are all apostles. We are all missionaries because we are all sent for a purpose. Now, whilst that is true on a base level, in terms of an individual gifting level, not everybody here will be an apostle in a fivefold sense. Apostles in a fivefold sense are very, very focused and strong on the task of apostleship. And there are two things that they do quite frequently. And two things that characterize apostles are they start new things and they release potential. They start new things and they release potential. Sorry, I've got my verse up there. So this is how when Paul was chosen in Acts chapter 9, his conversion on the road to Damascus. And then, of course, when they were praying at the church of Antioch, set aside for me Barnabas and Saul. And our ultimate apostle is, of course, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost. Apostles in the modern church, start new things, Nathan, and release potential. They start new things and they release potential. So you might be an apostle if you are the sort of person that gets restless, that needs to do something new, that needs to see something change, that feels discontent with the status quo, someone that is always challenging things. If that is you, that's the apostolic nature at work within you. It could be your primary gifting. It is something that you always default to. Are you not comfortable with the way things are? Do you want to see new things being done, new people reach for the kingdom? Perhaps even in professional world, are you an entrepreneur, a go-getter, someone who likes to start something new and see it through to completion? If that's you, then you could be an apostle, because apostles start new things. That's largely what the Apostle Paul did. In fact, throughout his journey, he went on several missionary journeys and he planted churches. Look what he did at the church at Philippi. The story can be found in Acts chapter 16. He went and found Lydia and some women by the river praying. From there, he planted a Christian church with those women. He was quickly joined by a formerly demon-possessed young girl, fortune teller, and a jailer for the Roman Empire. So we've got men's ministry, women's ministry, and youth ministry all founded in the church at Philippi straight away with the Apostle Paul. And then he set up the church, he established it, then he moved on to a new frontier. But he didn't just leave it there. He released the potential of that church because he wrote to that church. He kept checking in to make sure that they were reaching the full potential and doing everything that God had for them, because that is something else that characterizes an apostle. If we think about the story, God's story, throughout biblical history and throughout human history, basically nothing happens really without an apostle at the front leading it forward. Think about it this way. If Paul didn't travel, many of the churches in Asia and Europe would never have been planted. Well, God would have got someone else, but that's another sermon. If Peter hadn't gone to Cornelius, that message going to the Gentiles, that wouldn't have happened at that time. If Martin Luther hadn't nailed his 95 theses to the door of the chapel, the Reformation would not have happened. If Churches of Christ in Victoria and Tasmania didn't buy this land back in 1958, we would not be here today. If the church didn't merge with Barnabas, both churches would look very different to what they do now. Half of us wouldn't be here. And most importantly, if Jesus hadn't come to earth to seek and save the lost, to die on the cross for our sins, something we will celebrate not too long from now. If he had not done that, died, and was risen to life again, the church would never have existed and none of us would be here at all. It all starts with an apostle being sent to start something new and then to release the potential that is there. Now, there are some things that characterize an apostle that is developed and an apostle that is undeveloped. Now, I've chosen those comparatives specifically because if most research and scholarship around giftings like this will use the words mature and immature. Now, I don't particularly like those words because they can be misinterpreted. Because sometimes, quite rightly and often, maturity and age tend to go hand in hand. However, there can be people with a lot of experience in one gift who have used it the same way for many, many years, and it has never been developed. On the other hand, you can get people who develop their gifts very diligently, very quickly, and become very developed in their gifting and early and continue growing throughout their life. So the idea of simply doing something for a long time being the mark of completion or development is something that I want us to avoid and to not think about, because if you've done something the same way for such a long period of time, you've essentially only done it once, and you become stagnant. The law of diminishing returns comes in. So we want to be people that if we've got gifts, which you've got because they're not optional, that are growing, always developing, always learning. And so when it comes to apostles, here are some characteristics of the ones that are undeveloped. An undeveloped apostle will often flip between one thing and another very, very quickly without releasing the potential that is there or seeing it through to completion. Every new idea they want to pursue, every new idea they often do pursue, and in the end, they become very, very chaotic because apostleship by nature is usually upfront leadership, direction setting sort of role and gifting. They often find themselves with no one following them because no one knows where they're going because they're this and this and this and this. And it's very, very difficult for people to get on board with what's going on because the plan changes all the time. So that's one characteristic, and that's sort of the main thing to be aware of, that if you are an apostle and you are a person that loves to start new things, that doesn't like to leave things the way they are and wants to, reach new frontiers and release the potential of the church, it's really, really important that you finish what you start. Now, finishing what you start may not always be what you intentionally, the initial vision that you may have had for it, because you may have an idea, it doesn't come to fruition, you see it through, you realize the potential is not what it should have been, and you go, okay, we've tried that, that didn't work, that's okay, let's go back, let's pray again, let's seek the Lord, and let's move on to something else. And that's why it's really, really important for an apostle to be working with a prophet. An apostle working with a prophet and with a teacher, relying on the other gifts to understand God's direction. Because whilst an apostle says, hey, let's go climb a mountain, we don't want to climb the wrong one. Hence, the prophet then coming along and saying, but we need to climb that mountain. The difference between, key difference between an undeveloped apostle and a developed apostle is discernment. Working with the other giftings and understanding the God ideas, not just the good ideas, because there are hundreds of good ideas that we can do for the kingdom, thousands of them. But the God ideas, the things that he wants us to do, it's that that the apostles need to move forward in. And the successful apostles throughout human history and biblical history, which is human history, have all done that. They've sought God, they've looked for the direction, and they've brought people along and they've released the potential. One of the hallmarks of a developed apostle, as well as finishing things, seeing things through to completion, is part of what seeing things through to completion looks like is releasing the potential of what they've started. So when an apostle, the apostle Paul is the best example. Throughout the New Testament, the book of Acts, the churches that he planted, he didn't just plant the church and then move on. He planted the church. He stayed with the church. He appointed elders. He appointed overseers to take care of the church, to continue leading the church. He made sure the church was okay, and then he moved on. He put his discomfort and his desire to start new things and push into new frontiers on hold until the church was established, and then he moved on. On top of that, he looked back in on them. He checked in on them, and he released the potential. In fact, the overall tone of almost every one of Paul's letters to his churches was, you are not living up to your God-given potential. Here's how you can. Literally, all of his letters have that same message. This is how you can reach the potential. This is how you can reach everything that God has for you. The call of the apostleship gifting is to challenge people. It's to motivate people. It is to bring out the potential that God has given people. And so the question that apostles often need to ask themselves is, am I bringing out the best in God's people? Am I bringing out the best? Am I releasing potential? Am I challenging them? And for this reason, it can be really uncomfortable to have apostles in the church, because apostles in the church are really, really annoying people. They are constantly challenging others. They are constantly encouraging others to be better. They are constantly rocking the boat. That is what apostles do. They make us uncomfortable. And we don't like being uncomfortable. There's a reason we call it our comfort zone. It's because we like it there. But apostles are constantly trying to draw us out of our comfort zone, because if we're comfortable, we're not growing. If we're comfortable, we're not growing. And God does not call us to be comfortable. God calls us to be growing ever closer to him. In the passage we read this morning, it says, until we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Show of hands, anyone here attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ yet? Oh, good, because I'd really love some help if you did. Oh, well. I mean, we're all on a journey. We're all growing. We all understand this. It's a basic part of our faith that we're all growing. We all have so much that we still need to learn. It's apostles, a key role that they play is to bring out that in us. So one thing that we as a church need to be comfortable with is being uncomfortable. The message to the church is, Nathan, sorry, next one, please. The message to the church is get uncomfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you're not growing. If there's someone who's challenging you or agitating you in a different direction that's drawing new things out of you that God has, go with it. Allow yourself to come out of your comfort zone. Allow yourself to be annoyed. Allow yourself to be uncomfortable. Allow it to get messy, because that is the role of the apostle. They are meant to make us uncomfortable. Now, that's also why we have pastors. That's why we have pastors as well, because the pastors are there to help us stay comfortable while apostles are constantly making us uncomfortable. That's why apostles and pastors often find themselves at loggerheads. Because apostles want to move forward, and pastors often want to move forward, faster than pastors will let people. But we'll get to that when I do the sermon on shepherds and pastors later on. So my message is simply this. If you take nothing else away from this morning, then I hope you would take away this. If you're comfortable, you're not growing. So get uncomfortable. And if you are an apostle and there's something in here that has raised questions for you, that you think you might be an apostle, allow yourself to make other people uncomfortable. Don't let their comfort be the determining what God is calling you as an apostle to do. Del, did you have a question?
So you embrace the situation, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Embrace it, take it full on.
Absolutely.
Embrace it.
I mean, and with discernment, which is why all five gifts work together, because then you've got teachers to guard truth, prophets to help speak from what God is saying. But yeah, when an apostle's leading forward, go with it. See where it takes you. With prayer and with care, but yes, absolutely. All right, so why have I brought up the game of Scrabble before we close? Because we're talking about apostles challenging people. I have a challenge for us all, a bit of fun, a bit of a game that we can play over the course of this next series. Not Scrabble itself, though, if you like it, go for your life. The reason I came up with this challenge, I was reflecting, I actually played a game of Scrabble. We had a games day at Craft Care and Chat not that long ago, and I played a game of Scrabble. I lost by 6 points. Lost by 6 points. Now I'm not holding on to that or bitter or angry about it at all. Yeah. The person knows. No. Scrabble. In the game of Scrabble, it is possible to put the words apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher together so that they are interlocking on the board. Your challenge is to put them on the board in such a way that you can get the highest possible score with those five words, using the triple letter scores, the double word scores, whatever you've got, to make it the highest score that you can get. Whoever gets the highest score by the end of this series will win a prize from me, which will be a hand-prepared and curated. A hand-curated Christmas in July hamper from yours truly will be the prize for whomever can come up with the highest score. So make sure you either take a photo or remember how you've done it, because if you have the highest score, you need to prove to me that it's the highest score before I will release the prize to you. Challenge accepted?
Starting from the middle. Question asked.
Yeah, you have to, because you have to include the middle, yes.
Pastor.
Now, we are using the word pastor instead of shepherd because there are only two P's and two H's in a Scrabble and you can't use all. It is possible with the blanks. I tried, but it's easier if we just use pastor. Pardon?
Your blanks don't give you a score.
Your blanks don't give you a score, but you could use blanks if they help you expand the board to get to letters, or you never know. So up to you. Be creative. Have fun with it. Yes, they all have to, and they all have to be connected to each other. And you do have to use the middle square because that's part of the rules of Scrabble. Okay. Thoughts? Excellent. Well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is something practical that we can take away from the sermon this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that you're with us always. Lord, we thank you for the different people in the church that you've gifted, the fact that we're all different, that we've got different gifts, and that there are different things that you bring out. So that we can all grow till we reach that fullness, the fullness of Christ's likeness that you are calling us to, that journey that we are always on. And Lord, so we thank you for the apostles. Lord, we pray that as a church, we would be better at understanding the apostles among us and we would be better at pressing into where they're leading. But Lord, we also pray for our apostles that they would lead well, that they would discern and they would work with the other gifts as to where things are meant to be going so that we can all get to the top of the mountain as we talk about. We pray for this in the precious name of Jesus.